WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa is set to pummel Jamaica as a monster storm, the strongest to lash the island ever. ABC's Lionel Moise says it's expected to make landfall later today.
Melissa approaching as a Category 5 hurricane overnight with winds up to 175 miles per hour. Three deaths already reported before the worst of the storm hits. Video from Air Force hurricane hunters shows inside the eye of Melissa, the eye wall nearly vertical. The flight forced to turn back after hitting severe turbulence. A Miami-based hurricane researcher calling it the most turbulent he's ever seen.
Amazon has announced today it is laying off 14,000 employees. The company says it is profitable, but it's looking toward the future. Online learning platform Chegg will be laying off 388 roles, 45% of its global workforce, in a restructuring that the company says is due to artificial intelligence. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is reminding farmers to check runoff risk advisory forecasts before spreading manure on their fields. According to a press release, the agency has an online tool to warn farmers when weather conditions and soil temperatures increase the chance of manure spills. The agency is also reminding farmers that all agriculture and livestock operations must report spills or runoff that could potentially impact surface or groundwater, which can be done through a 24-hour emergency spills hotline. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance are warning residents of a significant increase in the cost of health care coverage. According to a press release, the 2026 plan year rates for the state's individual marketplace show residents could see their premiums more than double with the expiration of the ACA tax credits. Eau Claire County residents could see one of the largest increases, with a family of four making $130,000 a year on a silver plan, seeing their yearly premiums jump by $24,000. The Northwest Wisconsin Grazers Network and a handful of partner organizations are inviting residents to their annual fall grazing conference this weekend. The conference will be held at the Shell Lake Community Center on Saturday from 8 a.m. to around 4 p.m. Attendees will have a chance to check out new agency and commercial exhibits and network with other grazers to discuss new ways to improve their own operations. Residents interested in attending the conference must register by Wednesday, which can be done on the organization's website. Due to the ongoing federal government shutdown, around 3,700 Ashland and Bayfield County residents are expected to be impacted by the delay in food share benefits. According to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, nearly 2,300 people in Ashland County and nearly 1,400 in Bayfield County were receiving food share benefits as of September. Local food assistance nonprofit officials also say they're preparing for another increase in demand for their services after already seeing about a 15% jump in the last year. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Badgers basketball in the spotlight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports College Hoops. The Badgers men's basketball team getting ready to host Campbell University out of North Carolina next Monday night at the Kohl Center. Wisconsin ranked 24th in the nation. Head coach Greg Gard, are the Badgers getting some national attention at the start?
Well, I think it's always been on the national radar. Whether you're ranked or not varies from year to year and varies within the year. I think this program is very well respected nationally. I think it's been extremely stable and extremely consistent over the last 25 plus years. So whether you get ranked right away, how high you get ranked, really that's irrelevant. You still have to go play the games.
Baseball game four of the World Series continues tonight in LA. The Dodgers winning last night over the Blue Jays 6-5 in a game that lasted 18 innings. Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run. The Dodgers Shohei Ohtani getting on base nine times, a postseason record with two home runs. With Sports, on Mike Clemens.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZ. H. Hayward's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. We may catch a sprinkle or two at some point with a high right around 55 here this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers are low, dropping to around 31. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, childcare remains a big issue in Wisconsin, around the country. Corrine Hendrickson will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. It's nice to have you here up north on a Tuesday morning, October 28th, 7:06 the time right now. I'm here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson is down in Madison Studio A2. A little under the weather, but fighting through it, man. And he's doing it without being powered by coffee. I'm happy to report the single-serving coffee maker did its trick. I did not flood the kitchen. I have an actual second cup of coffee.
Attaboy.
Yeah, see? Little victories for folks who missed it an hour ago. I broke the coffee pot early this morning.
It happens. It happens sometimes.
Yep. Happy. So lucky to have the dual thing. I don't have any of the coffee pods, but was able to measure it just right with the regular ground coffee and got it. Actual, thank you, Tony. Yes, success. I will absolutely claim that. From Rob in Tigerton, good morning. It's clear, 33 degrees in Tigerton, a beautiful day yesterday. Spent some time doing yard work and said he watched the 18-inning World Series game that lasted 6 hours and 39 minutes and lasted until after 1 a.m. And he's still up with us on the radio this morning. Thank you, Rob.
Wow.
Obviously, I didn't watch it. I woke up to news that game went until almost midnight out on the West Coast when Freddie Freeman hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning. I mean, so that was like two games in one. Does that mean the Dodgers are up 3-1 now? Can you count that as two wins?
Probably not. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to be sitting here telling you, the Brewers won an epic game, 18 innings, and they're up 3-0 on the verge of a sweep. But that's a fantasy land that, you know, that bubble burst for us a long time ago. So instead, we have to take what we've got here. And what we've got here is, I mean, an instant classic in terms of World Series games. I'm just glad I didn't have to sit up for that. That is impressive. And I would love to know, because I would love to have seen how many people hung around. It's a World Series game. Now, it's not a deciding game. I get that. But still, it's a World Series game. And so how many people were just like, no, it's the 14th inning. I got to go. Or it's the 15th inning. Or the people who are like in the 7th or 8th inning. Well, this is fun, but, you know, LA traffic. I got to beat it. I got to go home. You know,
I don't know. I bet there were a lot of people. From the clip I heard, it sounded a lot of people.
Yeah. Yep. There's your sports there. I wish it was happier news from a Brewer standpoint, but from a sports standpoint, that is mighty impressive stuff. There are still plenty of sports to talk about. The Milwaukee Bucks will be hosting the New York Knicks tonight. Then there's the Packers. They will be hosting the Carolina Panthers next Sunday. And again, don't be alarmed, but the Packer game is Sunday at noon. You know, when football used to be played regularly, no primetime game, no Thursday game, nothing like that. That's just straight up Packers and Panthers. Coverage begins Sunday at 10 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Wautoma. There is also college men's basketball from the Badgers. The Badgers have a preseason game against UW Platteville tomorrow at the Kohl Center. Coverage begins at 6:30 on stations in Richland Center, Amory, and Wisconsin Rapids. And if you're familiar with Badger men's hockey on the radio, you know that it is over at WFHR in Hayward that they carry the Badger men's hockey team, and they will be playing against the Minnesota Gophers on Thursday. Coverage will begin at 7:30 on Thursday at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Go to WFHR.com for more sports programs, because they don't just have some Badger sports. They have lots of Badger, you know, talk shows. There's like the Greg Gard show and other shows that they have as well. So head over to WFHR for that. And then, of course, there's the second round of the high school football playoffs. And so those games will be on select civic media stations as well, I'm sure. So turn to your local civic media station to learn more. Did I mention the Badger football team? I didn't. How utterly unforgettable.
I do think they're off this week, though, to be fair.
You know what? I think you're right.
I think mercifully they're not playing.
That's, you know what? And that's why there wasn't a time, because you're right. It's actually not this weekend. It's the following weekend, November 8th at Camp Randall, when they are playing the University of Washington. So
that's so nice. That's TBD. So nice that they built in a nice little Urardi in the dumpster fire. Let's not burn you anymore. Let's let you cool off a little first.
Maybe it's called a mercy rule. You're getting an extra bye week just because we can't stand to watch you. Why don't you just take a little break?
They're really letting you gear up to play Washington.
Yeah.
Might win this one, so you get 2 weeks to prepare.
So, again, we try not to get too deep in the weeds on sports talk. Just enough for you to, like, engage in a conversation at work and sound a little bit like you know what's going on. So, LSU, Louisiana State University.
Oh, my.
Has been a bit. Oh, Parker's about to give us a hot take on this. LSU has been a football powerhouse for the longest time, and they fired their coach, Kelly. I don't remember his
Brian
first
Kelly.
Name here. Brian Kelly, that's it. And, you know, he's not a terrible coach, and that's not a terrible program, but down there it's like win or else. And he's only the latest in several high-profile football coaching firings in midseason, which used to not be a thing. But now in this NIL era where players are getting paid, there's so much more money swirling around the system, so much more pressure to perform, that you have universities this year that have been firing coaches, owing them tens of millions of dollars, and saying that that's less expensive than having a losing college football program. That's weird. There's too much money in there. That's all I got to say about that.
That is the problem with college sports, is that too much money is getting into it on a lot of different levels. LSU, by the way, overall, 5-3 this year. They're not
5-3.
Yeah.
And you fire a very expensive coach.
2-3 in conference. They're 11th place right now in the SEC. So, like, I guess there's an argument there. I would argue Brian Kelly should never have been hired, and probably should have been fired from Notre Dame, and probably shouldn't be allowed to coach after he basically killed a kid at Notre Dame. But
well, there is all
that's
of that.
Just my thoughts on Brian Kelly. I don't know.
But there is a celebrity culture to coaching in the college football ranks, and he will end up somewhere else. I mean, that's just how the cycle works. Still, eventually he becomes a TV analyst or something like that. Now, not everybody is into college football, and some people are happy that the NBA season is underway. Alicia puts on YouTube, I will be watching Detroit Red Wings tonight. Hockey is my jam, which is great. Tonight, by the way, is one of those full schedule nights in the NHL, all 32 teams, 16 different hockey games to choose from tonight. There will be baseball tonight. And there was baseball last night. What do they call it? The sports solstice or something, where all four leagues are in action at the same time.
Yes. I think
there's only one or two days a year when that's the case.
It's a beautiful day. And I would wager that there is a Conference USA football game on tonight, so you could get a little sprinkle of college football in tonight too.
Yes. So the I said solstice. No, it's the sports equinox is what's going on tonight. But you get, I mean, You get all the sports. This is, if you're running like a sports bar or something, don't you like really play that up and say, come on in for our, you know, chicken wings and things like that. Tony says there's a word for it. It's magical. It's a magical sports day.
It is. It's a very big day. It's very important.
Yes. We were talking in terms of news headlines earlier about how the costs for health insurance policies under the Affordable Care Act are about to skyrocket. And we're learning details of the extent to which that is going to happen. Again, Republicans shutting down the government to protect health insurance company profits. Now, I know there are people that disagree. There was a comment earlier that said something along the lines of, Pat, you have the stupidest take on everything. Health insurance companies only started making record profits after Obamacare was signed into law, because it enabled health insurance companies to skyrocket prices since the government is paying the money. Well, that is an interesting take on how that all worked out. To say that insurance companies weren't making record profits before the Affordable Care Act came in is, again, a case of amnesia in history that continues to befuddle me, that folks have forgotten just how horrible it was before the Affordable Care Act, where you'd pay premiums of your hard-earned money all your life, you'd get sick, and they'd say, oh, wait, you had a hangnail at the same time. Sorry, thanks for paying your premiums, but the insurance doesn't cover that anymore. Instead, under the Affordable Care Act, it was, we're going to use your tax dollars to make your health insurance more affordable for everybody, and health insurance companies have to take you on. They can't deny you for pre-existing conditions. But as a result, they're also going to get more customers. And yeah, they're going to make more money, but they're going to have to play by a tighter set of rules. And at first, people were like, I'm not so sure about this. Now look at the polling for the Affordable Care Act. It's off the charts because people understand how much better life is compared to then. But it was not perfect and should have been tinkered along the way. But rather than trying to make it better so that, again, health insurance is affordable for everybody, and so that there aren't these junk plans out there, Republicans just kept trying to kill it. And now we're heading back to the days of junk plans. That's one where people go, hey, I never had a problem with health insurance. Well, you never needed it. Or if you did, it was for something kind of small, and yeah, the health insurance company paid out for that. But again, there were plenty of junk plans that seemed affordable until you actually had to use them. And so, again, there are ways that we could be making healthcare more affordable, and then there are ways we could be making healthcare more expensive. Guess which way Republican politicians chose? Now, again, for people thinking that I'm being too mean and negative to Republicans, I simply ask this. What's the plan? What's the plan? What's the alternative? I'm so damn sick of hearing repeal and replace, repeal and replace. Where's the replacement? Repeal and replace, repeal and replace. Where's the replacement? The market. We saw what the market did. The market took your money and then said, tough hop. When you said, I've got this diagnosis and it's time for my health insurance to work. These are the things we could be doing. But here's what's happening instead. In the state of Wisconsin, if you are 60 years old, if you're a couple and your income is about $85,000 a year and you live in La Crosse County, you are currently paying $606 a month for a silver plan. I mean, that's still, you know, that's not a small chunk of change. You're hanging on. You got five more years till Medicare and Social Security check, kick in. $600 a month, $606 to be specific. Starting Saturday, that same policy is going to cost $2,698. Do you have an extra $2,100 a month lying around? Because that's an extra $25,100 a year. If you're just a 26-year-old, and maybe you've seen that there's, you know, cancer in the family or something like that, so you don't want to think, you're not young and bulletproof, you know you need coverage, okay? You're in Eau Claire County, you've been getting a silver plan policy for $219 a month. Starting Saturday, it goes up to $386 a month. That's $2,000 a year. As a 26-year-old making $48,000 a year, do you have an extra $2,000 lying around? No, you don't. So if Republicans don't like the way the benefits are set up right now, they could certainly work with Democrats to come up with something more affordable, but they're not choosing that. They're choosing simply to let insurance companies jack these rates back up and let people flounder without any coverage, take a chance, and risk more medical bankruptcy. Where is the public service in that? We're going to be talking about the shutdown impact on national parks and the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs, don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is a greeple Tuesday morning. Good morning to you, Hayward area. I hope your day is good here. Joel here. Gray's trying to find his coffee. I believe he found his coffee.
Yeah, it's gone. It was already gone. I finished it, and I'm sad. And there's no more.
There's always more.
Well, there is more, but I'm not going to do that to myself. My body is not suited for that much.
There's always that decision to make when you've reached your quota of coffee. It's just like, all right. Am I gonna overflow the tank here? What are we gonna do here?
I have an alarm. I actually have an alarm set that goes off at the same time every single day. It's at 12:55, and it basically says you've got 5 minutes for whatever caffeine you might be willing to imbibe.
All right, it's a Greeple Tuesday, and that means we talk green, we talk purple. And I will say right now that I may sound cheery, but as a fan of the purple, it's another rough day for the fan of the purple.
Yeah,
with Carson Wentz. It's not sad that Carson Wentz, he wasn't probably going to play anyway, but he's out for the season, shoulder surgery. So now the Viking locker room, in a matter of like 7 months, has gone from just overflowing with an abundance of opportunities to two guys who have played a total of two games in the NFL, and now they're looking maybe to call Thurston Howell or Sam Howell and get him back in here as their backup again.
Yeah, backups, names that you haven't heard in a minute. Worst case, Keenum, what's he up to these days?
Goodness gracious.
You know, and you know, Joel, you know that I don't like making definitive statements where there can't be definitive statements made. You know I don't like pretending we know. But I'm looking at the Vikings here, and they're – the only path to a reasonable season anymore is basically a miracle. You know, they're right there. And yes, they're 3-4. So let's pretend everything goes storybook from here on out. Okay, you end up with 12, 13 wins. But okay, immediately when you say that phrase, you just aren't that team.
The Vikings are not a 13-win team. They are a 10-win team at best. So that still qualifies. You know, you could be on the outside fringes. The Packers, for instance, back in 2010, they went in as a wild card with 10 wins. And that was by the old structure where there was only 16 games. But I maintain it is still theoretically possible. But it's also theoretically possible for the Jets to do the same.
Well, the biggest thing like the Packers went through the last couple of years is just a lingering quarterback. The question is, we want to know, do we have a quarterback? That's what Packer fans spent the last couple of years. We just want to know, do we have a quarterback to lead this team? Doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes, but do we have a good quarterback? The Packers, I think, have that question answered. And I think even if the Vikings lose the rest of the games this year and go 3-14, they just want to know, Viking fans want to know, do we have a quarterback?
I'll tell you what, if you do lose every game for the rest of the season, you will have a quarterback when you draft Arch Manning in April. That's Arch Manning in purple. What you thinking?
No, I think J.J. McCarthy is going to get a shot. Everything, all the indications were from all the people and all the experts I heard that were at camp and watched him is that J.J. McCarthy does have the skills to be a good NFL quarterback. Whether he can stay healthy now is one of the keys when you're off to a rough start like this. But all indicators are is that he's a gamer and he's a good quarterback. But could he be one of those guys who's like an Andrew Luck, is really good, but just can't stay in the field?
Yeah. I mean, and not to be argumentative, but we also just haven't seen that skill set that may or may not exist translate to the field yet. Like, he's played a couple games and looked serviceable, but also made some mistakes. So he, to me, as far as I'm concerned, it's his second season, but he was hurt in the preseason last year, missed the whole season, which is why people are treating it like this is his rookie year. And I think that really explains what we see from him. I've seen a couple mistakes, like holding the ball too long, for example. So said, he has made decisive and high skill throws here and there. It just, there are guys who do that, but then, you know, they're Geno Smith. They don't actually have a decent career until 7-8 years in when people have already given up on them. So
I think the Minnesota goal for the rest of the year is to win the divisional games, because they have 5 divisional games left. And, I mean, if you look at it realist, obviously the divisional games are very hard. But Kevin O'Connell's sitting in the locker room, and he's telling guys, okay, guys, look at me. If we win our divisional games, all right, we're going to be in good shape, you know. We're going to be in 8-10 win range if we win all of our divisional games. He doesn't mention you got to beat Detroit twice, you got to beat Green Bay twice, and then you got to beat Chicago. I think it's on the road. But, I mean, it does come down to the division. But I guess, even though it's 3-4 and you're like, well, you know, we could still make that. No, I to me as a Viking fan, I've written off this year. The offensive line is a triage unit out there, and they'll get to bunk up with Carson Wentz now, who have a good right arm but not a good left arm with his shoulder. So, yeah, it's done for the Vikings. Good news, I guess, for Viking fans is it's not like it's going to be a total rebuild. I think the Vikings could very easily come back if the quarterback does show signs and be a pretty competitive team next year again, probably.
Certainly. Yeah. And that's what I think will be the main value for the rest of this season. If the Vikings come out and they lose, I don't know, let's say 3 of the next 5, then I'll start really thinking, yeah, not many ways to pull it back. But you'll have enough of a sample size watching J.J. McCarthy to know what to expect. And it is too soon to give up on him. But I'll tell you what, if he goes out and he stinks it up all year this year for the rest of it, if he doesn't show enough promise, then there will be questions, because it'll lead to a high draft pick and there'll be a couple names waiting in the wings and people will be saying, you needed Carson Wentz to play injured and bail you out. So it's there's going to be a narrative. There always will be, but it might be me pushing it this year.
And we'll talk Packers a little bit later on this hour. It's a greepo. We've talked a lot of purple because there's a lot of purple news, and bad news sells. And the Packers have had really some pretty good news. I mean, it's gone pretty well for the Packers. Their offense is, you know, toward the top of the league. Their defense is up there too. And you look at everything with the Packers statistic wise, and they've got all the makings of a team that could at least make a run to the NFC Championship game.
Ought to be able to. It's just a matter of who's in a good mood. You know, you got those 49ers in a weird spot. The Eagles, Saquon's doing better as of this week than he was, but he's been having an off year for his caliber. You know, there's a lot of interesting questions. Dallas is a threat. You know, we might end up with another tie in the postseason, except they don't work that way. So what would it be?
Yeah, I just don't like a team that doesn't have a defense is usually exposed pretty fast.
Yeah.
Because you can only a tip pass here and there, all of a sudden you're a possession behind, you can't stop anybody, and you're in trouble. We'll talk the green side of Greeple coming up a little bit later on this hour. Thank you for the therapy session on behalf of all the Purple fans here in the Hayward area.
There won't be a second one.
We got Pat Kreitlow coming back in here on the Buzz of the North.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Drawing attention to agriculture's dependence on labor. That's the goal of a new national coalition of U.S. farmers that's been launched. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. The Grow It Here campaign is designed to focus in on agriculture's dependence on foreign labor, and that includes a Wisconsin dairy farmer. Details are on the way.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. John Rosenau is a Wisconsin dairy farmer that is a part of the Grow It Here movement. He has a dairy operation in the Wamedy Valley, western Wisconsin, outside of Fountain City, that depends heavily on agriculture labor from outside of our borders. And Rosenau says he wants to stress how unique dairy is versus seasonal crop production labor needs. He said the H-2A visa work now isn't working.
The dairy industry has been asking Congress and asking the federal government for years to modernize the immigration system because dairy is specifically excluded from having H-2A employees. And we rely on immigrants. And right now in Wisconsin, about 90% of the milk that's harvested every day from the cows that are here in the dairy, Wisconsin, or in America's Dairyland, is harvested by immigrants. Without these immigrants, we would struggle. Well, we wouldn't exist, basically, and we wouldn't want to exist either.
Straightforward words from John Rosenau. He is a dairy producer in western Wisconsin, Cochrane, Fountain City. He said he's got 18 employees on his Wisconsin dairy. 13 are from Mexico. This new movement, again, called the Grow It Here campaign.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
And good news from Indianapolis, where the 98th Annual National FFA Convention is getting underway. Wisconsin's National FFA Officer Candidate, Alyssa Schauer from East Troy, will be advancing to the next round of interviews. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. We may catch a sprinkle or two at some point with a high right around 55 here this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers are low, dropping to around 31. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is your favorite or least favorite word? Cinnamon. Love that word. And it's a superfood. I don't like the word buttress just because I'm immature. Pecan.
My favorite word is scoundrel. I would also say buttocks.
I said buttress and you said buttocks. John in Madison says words with silent letters bug me too. Pneumonia. Dumb. Funny because my name is John.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome director of Now More Yes, Max Hay. Then Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas and I talk new movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back at 7:35 on a Tuesday morning, October 28th. Nice to have you along. Hey, get signed up for our Up North News daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage. Included in today's edition is a link to my story about the Trump administration giving a big old no to Wisconsin for some of the disaster relief that was applied for following massive flash flooding in August in southeast Wisconsin, where some places got more than a foot of rain, and there was all kinds of damage done to houses, and so individual disaster relief had been approved. But the Trump administration rejected Wisconsin's application on behalf of six counties for infrastructure damage that was caused to public buildings and roads and bridges and things like that. And you might say, well, that's fine. I mean, as long as the individuals got their disaster relief for their homes, who cares about the infrastructure stuff? Well, it's still got to be fixed, which means that instead of it being, helped, instead of some of it being paid for in part by the federal government, it means it's all going to fall on local taxpayers or state and local taxpayers, as the case may be. So you can read more about that in our newsletter. Again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, time to go way up north, as we do this time every other Tuesday. And this time around, we're getting to know our friend Jeff Renicky from Friends of the Apostle Islands to talk about the government shutdown and its impact on our national parks. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Always good to be here. I wish we'd have some good news on National Park some morning.
I really, we're going to get there again. But right now we've been dealt this hand, which deals with a government shutdown and letting people know of the impact, here in Wisconsin and beyond. So I guess the best way just to start is to ask from a general standpoint, as you look at things across the country, how are our national parks faring during the shutdown so far?
Our national parks are a very diverse collection of landscapes, as you know, from mountaintops to deep canyons, from seashores to, deserts. And so it's not surprising, I don't think, that the impact of the shutdown is hitting different parks in different ways. And it didn't help so much that the Department of Interior sent out kind of a confusing contingency plan for parks, literally only hours before the shutdown. And in that contingency plan, it told parks that while the National Park Service will be conducting no park operations and offering no visitor services, the outdoor areas, trails, exhibits, and overlooks will remain generally accessible to visitors. So in other words, most of the buildings in national parks are closed, visitor centers, museums, that sort of thing. You can still maybe get to the trails. Bathrooms may be locked, trash pickup may not be happening. In some parks, it's become really a free-for-all because of the lack of emergency services and search and rescue. In one park, an American flag was hung upside down in the distress symbol of our national parks. So it's not a good situation in our parks right now.
No, I mean, and it leads not only to maybe trash piling up and programs not being run, but, safety concerns and also concerns about damage. Have there been any reports of damage with the, the lack of rangers in the parks?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, you have to put it in perspective that some 9,000 National Park Service employees have been laid off. These are often the frontline people that would be out there keeping an eye on things. So there's examples like squatters coming into national park campgrounds, ignoring the time limits and just setting up home. There's illegal base jumping going on in Yosemite, some off-roading situations in various national parks. And the situation is expected only to get worse. During the last extended shutdown, there were things like rock art panels that were vandalized at Big Bend. Joshua trees were toppled in that park. You know, our parks don't run themselves. Leaving the gates open with no rangers inside is a very strange way to run a business. When you think about it, the National Zoo is closed. The Smithsonian Institute museums are closed, the Air and Space Museum. And when you would ask why, they would probably say, well, there's nobody inside to protect the resources. Well, there's nobody inside to protect the resources of our national parks either. And that's a situation that could lead to disaster.
That is such a perfect way of looking at it. I mean, you wouldn't leave the museums and things open and say, well, we just trust you to be good with the paintings and you know, not let the trash cans overflow. So has it led to any kind of formal call to close up some of these parks so that they stay protected?
You know, it's a difficult decision. Everybody understands that. People love our national parks, their economic engines. Even this time of year, some parks like Shenandoah National Park, the Great Smokies and others, they get up to 25% of their visitation in October because people coming to check out the beautiful fall colors. So it's a very difficult decision. But most people in the field say they should be closed when there aren't rangers. There was recently a group of 40 national park former superintendents and directors who sent a letter to the Secretary of Interior asking that the parks be shut down, and another letter by 450 former rangers saying that this can't go on. The parks are too fragile without the folks who are hired to take care of the parks inside of them. Our parks simply won't run themselves, and some of the parks have shut down. The iconic Carlsbad Caverns National Park, the caves there are protected, Muir Woods, White Sands, they're pretty much shut down. But in the meantime, others remain open and therefore vulnerable.
So let's take it a little closer to home, and we're talking to Jeff Renneke from Friends of the Apostle Islands, and let's talk about the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore up north here. And again, it's maybe not an apples to apples comparison with some of our national parks, but I have a feeling the shutdown still has impact, even at a place like that, that is a little more, you know, seasonal in its operations. What's happening up there?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, our park is very seasonal. So if you were to come here as a visitor right now, you would find the visitor center in Bayfield closed, the visitor center at Little Sand Bay closed, but then they always close. It wasn't because of the shutdown. It was because of the seasonal nature of visitation. But that doesn't mean that things are fine in the park. Think of all the things that go on behind the scenes in that visitor center. There's no park planning going on. There's no staff training. There's no hiring going on. There's no cataloging of artifacts. There's no continuing wildlife research. There's an awful lot that happens at our parks that people don't see to make them run as smoothly as they do when there are a lot of visitors there. So just because a park isn't necessarily looking a lot different doesn't mean that there's not damage going on behind the scenes. We need to get our parks open and funded or close them down.
Now, Jeff, there's a website, friendsoftheapostleislands.org, and you recently wrote a story for the website about the government shutdown and the things that you might or might not see at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. And you address the construction of a Myers Beach accessible walkway project. What is happening with that?
Yeah, that's another good example. So Friends of the Apostle Islands, with the help of more than 500 donors and sponsors, raised almost $800,000 to be part of our commitment to help the park be more accessible to all. And so we got approval to replace the 45-step stairway down to the popular Myers Beach kayak launch with a all-accessible ramp. It's all paid for. It's all ready to go. All we need is a rubber stamp from the Park Service. Unfortunately, the Park Service is closed, and so that rubber stamp won't happen until it reopens. And up here, we have a very short construction season. So every day that goes by, may limit our ability to get that done in one season. So things don't stand still just because the park is closed.
So you'd wanted to start this next spring and finish it by next fall, and
that would be the plan. Yeah. That's not going to happen if we can't get it out to contractors for bids and have them poised to go this, as soon as the weather is decent.
Yeah. Again, like in all these things that Jeff is pointing out, there are plenty of things that happen behind the scenes that aren't going on right now as well. There's also the case where, again, because there's no staffing and people are still going into these areas, you know, they're not paying the fees that they would normally pay. But there are some folks that still understand that without the fees, there won't be support for the upkeep, for the programs, for the maintenance, and everything else. So are there still ways that people could pay fees voluntarily if they choose to use or visit some parks?
Many parks do have internet accessible scanning of a QR code to pay, and we would urge people to do that. You can make a donation to groups like friendsoftheapostleislands.org, which might be equal to your entrance fee, to help us support the parks. And almost every park in the country has a friends group like ours. So there's still a way to love your parks and help your parks, even if you're not paying those entrance fees. And remember that that's losing money for the park. 80% of that money stays in the park that you're visiting. The other 20% is spread out to parks like the Apostle Islands that don't have an entrance fee. So when you don't pay your entrance fee, it hurts not only the park you're visiting, but all of our national parks. So let's all help each other by making contributions in any way we can.
And can that still be done through the usual website, recreation.gov?
That can be campsite fees that you pay through recreation.gov. Each park, as I mentioned, is unique and different. Look for a QR code or look for a Friends of group and see if you make a donation that way.
Okay. I'm sure you mentioned earlier search and rescue operations, not even just the operations, but the training. Are emergency services being impacted by the shutdown?
Well, and also communication. You know, one of the biggest things about staying safe in our national park is understanding what the threats are, what the weather is going to be, when it's safe to go to someplace, when someplace might be closed. But the irony is, at the time when park visitors need communication the most, the entire communication staff of our parks has also been furloughed. And so there's no one to ask, is it safe to go here? If I need help, who do I contact? Are the campgrounds open? It's just radio silence from our national parks, and that puts everyone in danger.
Yeah, and Jeff has talked about earlier, again, some of the other things that aren't being done, like school programs, interpretive program preparations, cataloging of historical artifacts. But there are things that, you know, you can do to be helpful. And I took note of one that you said here, supporting local businesses. Even if you can't or don't normally go into one of these areas, those local businesses would still appreciate some visitors.
Oh, absolutely. Most national park units are economic engines. People come here and they spend money. They buy gas on the way here. They stay at hotels. They eat at restaurants. They visit gift shops. Without those visitors coming in, many of these national park related businesses have a difficult time. It's a huge audience. Our National Park Service budget here for our lakeshore is about $3.4 million. And yet we return some $29 million to the local economy. And so it's a real engine for our local businesses. So come up here, enjoy Bayfield, enjoy the National Lakeshore parks that are open, do that responsibly, do that safely, come here prepared to be self-sufficient, practice low impact camping and leave no trace principles, and go visit some of the local shop owners. They will really appreciate it.
And learn more at friendsoftheapostleislands.org. Jeff Reinecke, thank you so much. Appreciate the update.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. Have a great day. And coming up in our next hour, we'll talk to Cam Stevenson live from Washington, D.C. from Courier Newsroom, and then Ruth Khanna from the Wisconsin Examiner. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines, and it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant, but environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Brady Ewing, 2-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football.
To hear that the coaches aren't fostering those relationships at the high schools, that has been the heartbeat of the team before Fickell's time. I got recruited other places, but I chose to be a Wisconsin Badger because of what that meant to me. If it means something to you, not just the name on the back, but the name you have on the front of your jersey, that's going to have staying power in today's college athletic landscape.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Buzz of the North, Pat Kreitlow, back in just a second here. Joel and Gray, it is our Greeple edition. We hit all the purple stuff earlier this hour, so we're done with that, all right?
Goodbye,
we're done with the Viking therapy stuff.
The horn helmet away.
Don't say goodbye yet. We're not saying 3-4, gosh sakes. Not goodbye yet. Maybe after this week when we get whooped by Detroit, but not yet. Not yet. But looking at the Packers, I mean, the Packers have a top, right now, like top 7 offense, top 7 or 8 offense when you take in yardage, and their defense has been pretty solid too. I think going into the season, outside of that Cowboy tie, which is still kind of like, really, really? I think this has gone about as well as you could hope for a Packer fan. Micah Parsons is a real deal. And I think Packer fans got to be saying, you know what, this has been good so far.
Agreed. And I think the litmus test for that, there's a nice little built-in thermometer. You know when you buy a ham from the store, Joel, mm-hmm. and it's got that little thing that pops out it's done cooking?
Yeah.
That thing in the Packers season so far is that dang Browns game. what I mean is the week after we lost to the Browns on a boneheaded Jordan Love maneuver that gave them a 4-yard field and they immediately scored, we gave them nothing and they still won it because we gave them that one thing. That has faded into the past. And what people are talking about is Jordan Love's 20 consecutive completions the other night and things like that. So that's what you and I think mean often when we say that the NFL is so week to week. And I brought up a point a couple weeks ago that what comes in week 5 will change your mind about what week 4 meant. You know, if we got whooped up on the Browns in week three, fine. The Browns have gone on to clamp down every single opponent except for Miami for some reason this past weekend. Yeah, so, like, just like that, we don't look as bad for losing to the Browns. So, cool. The meat thermometers is, it's done. We're still okay. Even though we lost to the Browns, we're still cool.
Well, like you said, Browns have a legit defense. I think it's number one in the NFL or close to it. But when you play the Browns, you offensively, you just have to have that mindset. It's all right to punt.
Yep.
All right. It's all right. And Jordan Love threw that crucial pick. And when you do that against the Browns, you can't give them points, because when you turn that ball over deep in your own end and you give them 3 or 7 to recover from that and score 10 or 14 points against that Browns defense, that's about what they give up for the whole game.
Yeah, I honestly, it reminds me of when I play Madden on my phone and on my computer. I play not much Madden, but a little bit. And every once in a while, you're going through like 20 different little challenges. Pass for 30 yards against this defense. Win a game, down one score at the half. You know, silly little, here's how you play. But one of the things that you'll run into is, all right, here is a brick wall. This is, we're going to put you up against a defense with guys rated way higher than yours. And what the game is really doing is teaching you one particular lesson most of the time. Like, don't just go deep every single play. You know, don't run 4 go routes. You know, and it's teaching you to kind of develop the run so that they have to respect the run and you can open up the pass. And here's some play sequencing ideas, you know, run 2 pitches to the right, followed by a reverse to the left to catch him off guard instead of just deep ball, deep ball, deep ball. And I'll tell you what, most of the time when I'm playing that game and it says, all right, here's your brick wall, it's the dang Browns. It's the Browns defense. And it says, all right, we need a team to play the great wall of football. And it's, mm-hmm. it's Myles Garrett, it's Grant Delpit, it's Carson Schwessinger, it's that whole team. So again, the Packers are better than their record might indicate, and I think we'll see that 4 games from now when all 4 are victories.
Yeah, I think of Carolina coming in this week, noon game. Yeah, that's one that, I mean, there's never hardly any blowouts in the NFL, but that should be one by mid-fourth quarter that you hope that you're up by a couple scores.
Theoretically, Carolina has shown some life in places, but it wasn't last week. They started Andy Dalton. They've got some injury concerns at quarterback, a la Minnesota or Washington. There's a couple teams like that. So, yeah, I expect to just put the pillow down firmly and hold it there for.
So as a Packer, a man of knowledge of the Packers, you read up a lot on the Packers. What is the number one concern right now for the Packers? An area on the team that seems to be the weakness of the team?
Cornerbacks, specifically corners. We've had a little bit of a few misplays here and there from Keyshawn Nixon, but he's actually playing a little bit better than that Pittsburgh game made it look. He had a super boneheaded-looking pass interference, but if you watch back, that was because he was playing the receiver so tight, and the receiver wasn't even playing the ball as it came in. So that said, the Packers made a change in that Pittsburgh game. They moved Carrington Valentine out to the outside instead of forcing Nate Hobbs, who we acquired last offseason, into the outside corner position. And thank goodness, because Carrington, a tiny little cornerback on DK Metcalf, was doing pretty well. But we still need maybe one more. We've got a pretty small nickel, and our safeties aren't very big. So I was scared of the tight ends and DK Metcalf going into Pittsburgh for the sheer size advantage. So big credit to Carrington Valentine for playing like he was a whole foot taller than he was. But that said, short answer, corners, though it's honestly not that bad. Like, our biggest need is not that bad because the guys we've got are playing out of their minds.
Right, and it helps when you got Micah Parsons in a front that puts a little pressure on the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
That always makes your corners look a little bit better throughout the season. Staying healthy is the key, of course. Packers are the number one seed in the NFC right now. They're a half of whatever. I hate this bye week stuff because the math is they're 1.72 games better than the Eagles or whatever it might be. They're a little bit better than the Eagles. And Tampa Bay is up there. Everybody, I don't know about you, but when I see Seattle as a number 4 seed and 5-2, immediately I think to myself, well, that's a nice record, but Sam Darnold's going to play in the playoffs. That's exactly what comes to mind.
It's true. It's very true. But if you haven't been watching, Joel, Seattle is looking a little bit scary this year. They actually have their first receiver ever with 700 yards over 7 games, and he was at like 850 after seven games. Jackson Smith and Jigba is a one-man offense right now, and Darnold's been playing unreal so far this season. But again, yeah, he did that last year, didn't he? And then, whoops, he broke his nose when he fell flat on his face.
If I had to put together a power ranking for the NFC right now, I think just looking at how teams are playing right now, I would be hard-pressed not to put Detroit as a number one power rankings right now.
I'd put Detroit there at one, us there at kind of a 1B or 2, and then you've got the Rams and Eagles and maybe even the Seahawks up there. The Buccaneers are kind of spurty. The 49ers are higher up on that list than you think. Past that, you get into some weird stuff.
And all those teams you mentioned, 1 through 7, all in the playoff. It's going to be a great playoff this year for the NFC.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Home field advantage might be just out the door. That's a Greeple Tuesday. Thank you, Gray. Have a great day. Hope you find your coffee, by the way, or more coffee.
Jimmy Buffett, where is it?
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Pack right lows in next.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa getting ready to pummel Jamaica as a Category 5 storm, the strongest to hit the island since record-keeping began more than 170 years ago. On day 28 of the federal government shutdown and with food assistance benefits about to run out for around 40 million Americans, some are getting desperate.
Food pantries even popping up at airports across the country to help struggling TSA agents and air traffic controllers forced to work without pay. Nearly 11,000 air traffic controllers like Peter Lefevre missing their first full paycheck.
The prospect of going another pay period without pay is weighing on the minds of myself and all the people that I work with.
Pay stubs obtained by ABC News showing $0.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Amazon has announced 14,000 corporate layoffs. Company says it's doing well but has to look toward the future and the opportunities opened up by the development of AI. This is a